Hey there. Welcome to the F Divorce Podcast. Jack here. I'm using a little bit of a different setup today, so if things sound different, that's why. But we're not here to talk about different setups. We're here to talk about social media, the bane of our existence. Did you know that LinkedIn was started in 2003, a few months before MySpace? Say what you will about MySpace and those horrible custom pages, but at least it didn't blow up your inbox with 2 million updates every day. I think LinkedIn ended up actually getting sued about that. Anyway, I am a part of the first generation of what we now call Web 2.0's version of social media. We were the last group to spend our childhood without it, only to embrace it in high school and college. I was a part of the group that used the top 8 friends in MySpace as a weapon and tool. We had to sign up for Facebook with a .edu email address, and it was incredibly boring compared to the emo puke-a-thon of MySpace at that time. Social media has been a part of my adult life. I went from having no phone, to a phone that could text, to a phone that could tweet, to one that could take professional-looking photos and videos for Instagram. I don't do that, but my phone can. Whether we like it or not, social media is a part of our lives, if not for good, at least for the foreseeable future. And we went from a couple of kids writing journals on blogs to this worldwide way of life. We never expected it to be this way. And in a lot of ways, we're the first ones to have to navigate life's turns through it. So what do? How do we handle it? We'll find out after the break. So, social media. Do you want to know what I think the weirdest part about all of this is? Before social media, we read shampoo bottles while sitting in the bathroom. Now we tweet. In fact, I'm willing to bet that on each one of my posts, at least one person likes or comments while in the bathroom. We all do it. And we all know that everybody else does it. We just refuse to acknowledge it. Anyway, social media. It's the devil, right? That's what old or traditional media tells us. Is it as bad as we think it is, or is traditional media just nervous? I mean, it's faster, for one. I was working at a religious radio station when Pope Francis got elected. Everyone at the station was pulling reports, making phone calls, following the news and stuff to try to figure out who it was so we'd be able to make the announcement, have the graphics and imaging done, etc., etc. I found out on Twitter who it was like a half hour before it made the official news. So obviously it was fast. But no one believed me. Does that mean it's not accurate? And this is my opinion. There's no poll or anything like that I'm basing this on, just kind of what I've noticed. It's about as accurate as everything else in the 24-hour shoot-first-ask-questions-later news cycle that we currently exist in. The point I'm making is that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for its intended purpose or not. That's up to us. When it comes to navigating social media during our divorce, my first and major piece of advice would be to just be careful. At least until after all the paperwork is done. Do I think most people do this? No. But I guess I'm just trying to save your lawyer the hassle of saying it to you. And it's always better to be safe than sorry. I'm a firm believer in the unfriend, unfollow, and block if you have to strategy. I remember early on how often I stalked the heck out of her social media accounts. And what good did it do me? None. All it did was bring me misery. That reminds me, I found out that we were officially separated when my status changed from married to it's complicated. Facebook doesn't, or at least at the time, didn't even send you a notification of the change. I don't remember why I was looking at my profile, but there it was. It's complicated. One of the things I hated early on were the Facebook memories. Luckily, you can block certain people and dates and even date ranges. But honestly, it took about 2 years before I completely got rid of all of the memories. Now, some may argue that it's kind of like deleting your past or something, and I guess that could be true. But I didn't want to look at them anymore. I don't see it being any different than throwing your wedding album in a box in the closet or away, which is what a lot of people do. Especially if they don't have children. Speaking of wedding albums, our entire album was on Facebook. We had a lot of friends and family who asked us to upload stuff so they can tag themselves, and we were also kind of helping out a photographer friend. We figured it'd be kind of a cool thing to do. I'm going to be real with you right here, and you may not agree with me, but the album's still there. Now, it's not public. Only me, her, the photographer, and I think the people tagged can see it. And even those people who were tagged can only see the pictures they're tagged in. I'm not sure if deleting it entirely would have been better. But I remember looking at it while making the decision. And I saw a picture of my mom and her friends from college. Then I saw one of my mom and I, some of my niece and nephews, all dressed up in their dress and little tuxedos. And I realized that, for me at least, the album wasn't just about the wedding. It was a snapshot of a single day in a lot of people's lives. And there were a lot of beautiful moments during that day that I wasn't necessarily a part of. And I don't feel right deleting those moments. That's the funny thing about social media. With ex-girlfriends or boyfriends, you just delete the evidence. But with a marriage, that's different. I can't pretend I wasn't married in real life. At least, I shouldn't. Am I supposed to pretend that I wasn't on Facebook? Now, besides the wedding album, I did untag myself in and or delete myself in any picture with she and I in it. I mean, it sucked. We were both very active in our social lives and online. And it was like I was removing the happy times, since generally we don't post about the sad ones. It was like I was deleting an entire life. And it took a long time, like I said, about 2 years. I don't suggest you try to do that overnight. I was part of an article for the Wall Street Journal about divorcing in the age of social media, gosh, probably like a year ago now. I will link it, but I think it's behind a paywall, so you may not be able to read it. But a lot of the comments were, in my opinion, a bit ridiculous. That's why you shouldn't post everything on social media. These young... I don't know why I'm using this voice, but just roll with me. I'm dedicated now. These young kids think they're all celebrities and that the world needs to know or cares about their every move. You know what? That's total crap. First of all, my social media accounts pre-F divorce were private. They were for me, my friends, and my family. Secondly, and this is the big thing. You're saying you expect me not to share pictures of my wife and I on my Facebook, Instagram, etc.? I mean, isn't that the point? Oh, the world doesn't need to know about my stuff. That's right. First of all, it was private. Already covered that. Secondly, if that's what you believe, then you better not pull out any more of your albums showing us about your 17th trip to Niagara Falls, Grandpa. No one cares about your Christmas trip to the Caribbean, aunt and uncle I never talked to, so stop sending those stupid postcards every year. Family videos? Guess what? Most babies eventually walk. It's not unique. Family newsletters? Don't bother. Like, no one has ever read those in the history of newsletters, ever. Everything 99% of us do on social media is stuff we've done on old media for years. The medium has changed, but the message is still the same. Most people aren't trying to be celebrities or think they're doing anything special. They're sharing pictures of their kids. The only difference is that it's faster. Along those lines of seeing people sharing those pictures of their family and kids and their beautiful lives, I'm well aware of the grass is always greener issue. It's especially prominent when it comes to Facebook and Instagram. I've been there. I've been in that place where you jump on while you're in a bad place and see nothing but happy people loving their amazing lives. It's rough. It's like a weird mixture of envy and depression. I think that sometimes we choose to blame social media and say things like, our picture doesn't tell a whole story. There's that voice again. Now, I can't disagree with that. But it seems like it comes from a place of anger when I don't think it should, at least most of the time. We don't add bad pictures to our photo albums, scrapbooks, family videos, slides. Yeah, slot like a projector with a carousel. Old school. I still have one of those. But we don't add bad pictures to those things or bad videos, whatever. Why would we do that on Facebook? Social media is supposed to be a window into people's lives, not a door. It's supposed to only show the highlights. So what do we do when those feelings of jealousy and depression creep in? I can tell you what I did, and that's take a break. I mean, we should probably be doing that every once in a while anyway. We all know we spend way too much time on our phones. There's no shame in walking away every once in a while. I mean, we don't owe anyone anything. I do it. And not just because of those kind of jealousy, envious feelings that creep in. I do it because sometimes I just get burnt out. My DMs used to be wide open. But over the last year or so, I've had to kind of shut them down for the most part. And it's not because I don't care, or I don't want to help, or I don't want to be like open to everyone. But I mean, sometimes it gets to be too much. Just like with work, family, and relationships, with social media, we need to set boundaries. We need to decide how much of the world we let in, how big our window is. But we also need to decide how much of it we pay attention to. Most of us probably have family members or maybe friends that we have to keep at an arm's length for whatever reason. The same rules apply online. If you have to distance yourself from certain people or entire apps, especially during this time, then do it. Like I said before, I had to unfriend, unfollow, and block my ex. And not necessarily because she was doing anything wrong on social media, but because I kept checking and checking and checking. So I removed the temptation. And if that's what you need to do, do it. Your mental health comes first. Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn will all be there waiting for you, happily, when you want to return. Now, we spend a lot of time discussing the potential pitfalls of social media, but I don't think we spend enough time talking about the other side of that coin. You probably know of this podcast because of social media. Divorce is a terrible experience, and yet we've been able to come together. People from different cities, countries, continents who speak different languages, who have different ethnicities and creeds. We've been able to come together and support and grow with one another. And that would not have been possible without this online presence. One of our first major emotions when dealing with divorce is the feeling of being alone. And we've been able to come together and show a lot of people that they aren't alone. Every like, comment, every time you send someone a post or share a podcast, you're saying to them that they're not alone. And that's even more true when you share your experiences. I'm just some random guy on the internet. You're someone they know and trust. Now, if you aren't comfortable sharing your story or ready to share your story or doing any of those kind of things, that's totally fine. Again, we talked about boundaries earlier. Set yours. That's your right. But you can still share posts from other people. You can point people to other people. There are a ton of great divorce, breakup, psychology, relationship, blah, blah, blah accounts out there. I'm not just plugging myself here. There are lots of good people fighting the good fight. Follow them. Interact. You don't have to be the message, but you can be the amplifier. You can help make that connection. And isn't that what it's all really about? I'm recording this during the COVID pandemic. I'm saying that hoping that the COVID pandemic will eventually be over and maybe people will come back and listen to this like some sort of a time capsule. Anyway, but imagine where we'd all be right now if it weren't for social media. My whole state shut down. And right now, it's still going through this weird process where, like, it's open and it's closed. They keep changing the rules. No one knows what they're supposed to be doing. For like 3 months, besides delivery drivers, contactless delivery, so there's that, and the people I live with, I didn't see another human being at all. My life changed drastically overnight. One day, I was just getting over celebrating my birthday and planning stuff for St. Patrick's Day. And the next, I wasn't even allowed to see my friends. Social media has kept me connected to the people whom I love in ways that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. Heck, I met my girlfriend through social media. The simple fact that she and I crossed paths at all is astonishing. But it never would have happened if it weren't for Instagram. I'm not saying that social media is all sunshine and rainbows. I found out a lot about what was going on outside of our marriage because of it. These platforms do make things like affairs a lot easier. Now, I don't think they cause people who wouldn't ordinarily cheat to start to cheat. But they probably give people who only haven't cheated because they haven't had the opportunity to do so because of circumstances, better chances, as it allows them to cast a wider net. But as I say, a cheater's gonna cheat. I'm also well aware of all the fake news and just blatantly dumb stuff we see every single day. I don't think social media has made more stupid people. It just gave them a louder voice. I mean, remember when we used to have to cite sources for our crazy claims? But the nice thing about this stuff is that you can block it out if you don't like it. If you don't want to unfriend someone, you can keep the friendship, but unfollow them. I'm a huge fan of that. Curate your own content and be ruthless about it. Now I'm waiting for my numbers to drop. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. just like with life, and I hope you know that you can do this. You can cut people off or keep them at an arm's length. You can privatize everything. You don't have to be public. You don't have to share anything. You don't even have to log in. You don't have to have an account. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, MySpace, if it's still a thing, and all the others are what you want them to be. You do have control. Some time ago, I posted a few pictures on a brand new Instagram account. I was angry. I needed to vent. I felt alone. And then, strangers. People I had never and probably will never meet in person. People who had no reason to say anything or make any effort whatsoever reached out to me. And they helped me see that I was very far from alone. That my feelings were important. That I was worthy and deserving. That I'd get through this. And with their help, I did. Social media, like anything in life, is what you make of it. Remember, you aren't alone. We're in this together. Getting divorced sucks. Being divorced doesn't. Have a great day. Honestly, I still don't get TikTok, though. It seems like all it's good for is teaching people how to dance badly. I don't get it. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Apparently, you can leave me voice messages now. If you listen through the Anchor app, you can do it through there. Or if you listen to it somewhere else, you can go to anchor.fm/f-divorce and leave them there. If I like them, I may add them to the show. If I don't like them and maybe want to argue with you, I might do that too. Anchor also told me to tell you that you can support the show by going to anchor.fm/f-divorce. You can be a sponsor for as little as 99 cents a month, or for as much as, I don't know, like $497 billion a month. Don't freak out though. The show will always be free. I don't expect anyone to sponsor me, but if you got an extra $497 bill laying around, I'm down. Anyway, remember to follow me on Instagram at f_divorce. I'm also available on Facebook and Twitter as well. For F Divorce and the F Divorce podcast, this is Jack Rollins. Cheers.